Thank y'all. Wait a minute. I need a hug for y'all. Bless y'all.
Thanks
for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yep. Holy Ghost. Thank you very much. We'll put it over here. I don't want to break that either. Because I get bouncing, I might break it. No, I just wanted that halls. Well, no, you too late. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. This is Mrs. Hogan. You sure? This is our 49th year together.
Yes.
Married.
Yes.
Blessed. Most of them was blessed, wasn't it? You good? You nervous? No. That's good. And I really appreciate her, y'all. She has stuck it out with me the whole way. Because I'm very wearing on the enemy, but that means pulling my whole family and our ministry through enemy territory. And I know you know what that means. And I personally have been shot, left for dead several times, beat, imprisoned, stoned, I don't know how many times. And every time she heals me back. And it's Jesus, of course, but it's always her arms that I get to lay in while I'm healing. And that's a big deal, ladies. Thank you. I do know that some men are butts. I'm not. but it's really a pleasing thing to me to have stayed the course with her, because everybody has opportunities for mistakes. Everybody does. And so far, the two of us have made some good choices. And I'm pleased with that personally, because I don't do well with bad decisions. You know, I told her all the way, just run. That's all I know to say, because I'm not a good guy with that. But, and I'm not threatening her. It's just how it is with me. Hello? I say hello. And her answer to me every time is, I love you, David Hogan. And boy, that's enough. That does it. Is that clear? You all right? Anything else? You sure? All right. Love you, Mom. Yep. So, I don't have an answer for y'all as to why I'm not sick. I am in a lot of times the World Health Organization is around us with hazmat suits on, and we don't have them. And we're out there preaching Jesus, and that stuff don't get us. And I cannot, I know you can throw verses at me, I can throw them at you. That's not the deal. It's just surprising how awesome God is. My wife has had 14 incurable diseases, and she's been healed of all of them. I had a few myself that we picked up along the trail, and every one of them God took off of us. And today, we are healed. And I just want to commend God for that. Hello? And thank y'all. What are we doing on time? What do you want?
Whatever you do.
All right. I got to get over to JP's place. I don't know how. It's an hour, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't even know what time service is. So doesn't matter. What matters is right now. There's about three things I want to say to you along with Revelations chapter 21. But there's a verse there I want to get to. I hadn't made it there yet. But I want to start out by saying something that's real controversial and sensitive. All right? I seem to hang out in that realm a lot because I'm not afraid of it. I don't agree with racism, tribal things. When you get born again, you're in one tribe. His name is Jesus. I don't agree with that stuff. That's why I was telling y'all yesterday, my heritage is like coming from like eight different bloods. That's what makes me an American. And you just take your pick which one you don't like and have at it. Or that you do like. It's not going to affect me. Jesus is king. And so I want to share a thing with you that's quite sensitive. It has to do with Muslims, witchcraft, and death. All of those are subjects most of you don't talk about. Well, I do. Okay? You have been taught to hate the Muslims. You have been taught to fear death. You have been taught that witchcraft is over with. None of that's real, right? I know Muslim people I'd rather be around than you. Them people are awesome. I'm telling you. Dadgummit, they some good folks. Now, they are bad guys, just like there's some in this room probably. But y'all, I got invited over to, it's right on the border with Guinea. It's in Sierra Leone, West Africa. Very dangerous, a high percentage of death for white skinned folks, like 100%. Christianity, 100% death rate. American, 100% death rate. American male, 100% death rate. So I got invited, and I said, of course not. I'm not going. I don't just choose to go throw my life on the line because you sit over here and have a good idea. You show me how to do it, and maybe we'll talk. Otherwise, back off, please. But I do enjoy, I guess it's the adrenaline that's involved with this tenseness of these death scenario things. Boy, I like being involved in wild stuff. But when I get home and around my family and my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids now, you know, it calms me down a little bit. It makes me start thinking I shouldn't do it. But as soon as I hear these atrocities, and boy, I'm not all right with that. And I'm not coming at it with a gun. I'm not going to have a literal Gatling gun. What I'm going to have is the Holy Ghost Gatling guns. And I'm going to have them flipped on fire, and I'm going to hit the button. God's going to do this for us. But I can't tell you how it's going to work. People say, I want to go on a trip with you, but I'm scared. And I just look at them, so am I. But somehow my feet just keep, stop it, stop it. So, y'all, it got really hard, and every plane we got on broke down, and I couldn't get there. So, of course, you're believing that maybe God's trying to stop you or slow you down. And then the bus, you got to get on a bus and ride it for a few hours, and that broke down. And then you get out there. Now, there are no Christians where we went. We were doing some church planting up there. Because the war has eased up enough to where it's still a war, but it's not, it's regressing back toward the desert. So the gospel's following it. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. The Sahara Desert. So I'm part of that edge that's following that bloodshed and the atrocities. And it's quite livid. It's wild, golly, around us. And I'm sitting there in the middle of this, what I see is chaos. All right, because of all the mixed opinions, tribes, hate. It doesn't have to do with white. It's a fight amongst them. And then it's a fight amongst religion. And y'all, I just want you to know that Jesus is King. Yes. Do you hear me? I want to share something that got real touchy. Because I have my experience is great. It would surprise you who calls me and asks me, all right, look, we got this problem. What do you think I should do? And I'll just tell them, bam. It's because I have experience in casualty areas and tents, locations and war zones and everything like that. And so I got on the jet, finally made it. It took us days to get there. We made it. I just kept pushing forward. And we get out there. There's 200 Sierra Leone soldiers in front of us, around us. And every one of them's alert with their guns on fire because we're going to be attacked. It is imminent. It's coming. You can't believe how you can't talk. You can't breathe. You smell blood. There's so much adrenaline in you going, you can smell blood in your nose. Golly. And it's all because I think Jesus asked me to go. And your world evidently don't agree because I don't see you out there. But I'm not here to curse you. I bless you. Do you understand? I am not here to curse you. I'm here to encourage you that we got this. Because I'm living proof that you can go to these places and come back alive and not just be alive, but be healthy. Living health in the middle of war. Do you understand? And so, wow, I'm pretty pleased. But I'm standing up there. And there's a wall of people. I don't think there was no 10,000 the first night. I think it was like 7,000 the first night. And it's 100% Muslims and no Christians. And only Christians are the ones on the state, you know, the ones on our teams. There's some pastors that did come from outlying areas and they were there with a couple of their people. And so we weren't a very big team compared to the confrontation. You got it? All right. And so they wanted me to speak. As soon as I got there, I've been traveling for like 4 days to get there. Made it. And I get up and I'm talking and telling them how awesome Jesus is and so forth. And the next thing you know, this fella comes rolling up on me. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to curse you, but you don't have an identity anymore. Most families are broke up. Most husbands and wives hate each other. Kids are confused. The nation's at unrest. America is. Things are not safe feeling. But compared to where I was standing, you live in a sanctuary. And I need you to be blessed. And I need you to let blessing flow out of you over this land. Do you hear me? Jesus is King. And I'm not here to curse you. And I'm here to help you solve and fix some of these riddles and problems that we've got that seemingly you can't fix. But this dude rolled up on me. He was just a normal looking fellow. Do I have to say black fella? Can I just say a human being, please? Because all of them's black. I'm the only outsider. So this dude rolls up, he's got a little stick with a little silver thing on the top. And he looks me right in the eye, just as clear, boy, he just clear-eyed. He had the hat, he's the imam as well. And he looked me right in the eyes. He said, "I need you." And I looked at him. "No, I'm not going to go with you anywhere." He said, "That's what you say right now, but you will." And I took that as a threat. Because I know that those guys that walk around with those sticks, y'all believe it's because they're crippled. It's not. It's because they're in authority. And I hadn't been there long enough to figure out what the symbols are on top of the sticks to know what authority I was dealing with. He didn't say nothing. He didn't get angry with me. He just walked off. Well, in the morning at 6 o'clock, there's a knock on the door of my son, Joseph. And I go there, "What do you want, boy? It's early. We was out late." He said, "Yes, sir, but there's some people here that want you." I said, "They can't have me." He said, "They can, Dad." All right. Now, my son, I raised him myself, of course. But he's one of the best soldiers I know. This boy is freaking bad to the bone. I mean, physically, mentally, when he graduated, it was in the top 1,000 students in y'all's nation. And spiritually, the dude can raise the dead. I mean, he's a good boy. But he's a man to y'all, but not to me. And he said, "Dad..." And he's got a hold of my door. I'm trying to. "You need to come out here and address this." So I roll out there, and there's about five guys with sticks. Uh-oh. Last night there was one. And this morning there's a stack of them. I said, "What do you need?" They said, "Last night..." And they have a thing called a para chief. It's the head. There's a kingdom, right? And all these tribes, and then there are all these chiefs, and then there's a guy that's over all the whole thing. And so he goes, this one speaking, he says, "You told the Potter chief no." I said, "Didn't know he was the Potter chief." He said, "We recognize that. That's your mercy. You don't tell the king no." See, and y'all believe you have rights and you have a vote. So that's what you believe. You are wrong. Jesus is king. Yes. Hello? Yes. Y'all believe in sonship, but the kind of sons that I met at the hotel a while ago that are entitled brat punks. I don't believe in that kind of a son. Do you understand me? I believe in faithful sons, diligent sons, obedient sons, ready sons. Just watching the Father, watching the King, just for a glance, and you attack. Whatever, doesn't matter what it is, good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. You just are on. You're just sitting there vibrating, gifted, blessed of the Lord, ready for war. Do you hear me? That's who you are. This entitlement thing has run rampant through the church, and you're wrong. Jesus is entitled. Jesus is king. All right? Okay. And so I said to him, I said, "I apologize to you. It won't happen again." They said, "We'll be back to pick you up at 10 o'clock. Thank you very much. Thanks for the mercy. So I went there and turned my Bible on, and I didn't go to bed. No, I went back down on the floor is where I went. Shakalaba. Now, because there's something up, y'all, that I don't know about. They didn't tell me what it was. Why? What would a king need me for? See, and Jesus is King. And he has sought you, pursued you with his love and mercy, and brought you to his bosom. He needs you. He don't need you at all. I've said that since I've been here. But I need you. Jesus needs you. Everything. For everything. All right? So they come and picked us up. I didn't know what we was doing. And I asked the guy that invited me. I said, dude, what's up? He said, I don't know. He said, this never happened to us before. I said, well, if I'm here, everything you're going to do is going to be new. Because I am a favorite son, and I get privileges to go out and fight with demons that no one else gets. I get the nod, and I pull the sword, and I tone, and I'm not going to back down. It's not going to happen. I like getting the nod. You hear me? Can you do the job? Most of the time, no. Am I capable? Of course not. But that never was a valid question, was it? It's always in his ability, his might, his power, his anointing, his fresh oil, who he is. So we get there to this place, and there's like 600, 700, maybe 800 folks sitting there. And they all, you know, you see them, they're all Muslims, all of them. And the only Christians are here in two vehicles. That's not very many. And here comes the guy with the stick. And he opens my door. He said, thank you for accepting my invitation. I said, there was no invitation. I was forced to come here. He said, you were. I need you. I said, you got me. Now, just make it light on yourself. What do you want? He said, you can raise the dead? I said, I can. Do you hear what I just said to you? Yeah. Answer to that is, of course I can. The environment is super negative. I am being forced to do something against my will. It's not what I personally want to do. I am uncomfortable to the max. I feel the negative environment. I feel death. I feel all these things. And this guy, according to y'all's world, is my mortal enemy. I haven't seen any reason to hate this man yet. I didn't know he was a king, or I'd have never said no to him. Answer is always yes to a king, regardless of your schedule. And I said, well, okay, all right, shakaba. And so he said, follow me. I said, yes, sir. And I'm rolling up in there, look, blue jeans, just like you see. Miss Hogan was very gracious to y'all. She put my favorite and best suit out for y'all. It's a true statement. She said, you look good in your best suit, she said. I said, thanks, Mom. So, you know, over in South Korea, they don't like the way I dress. Because those people, it's very much wealth over there. And every time I go there, a tailor comes to my room and measures me. And they hand make me these silk things. You know, I'll never wear it again. Why would you wear that? And they give it to you, and it's this $1 million stuff, and I bring it home, I put it on for Ms. Hogan, and then I take it off, I tell her, put it in the back of the closet somewhere. This is my best suit right here. Oh, you know what? I got invited to the White House, and they told me you can't wear your blue jeans. It's against federal law to wear blue jeans in the White House. I bet y'all didn't know that law. I had to go to Sears or the penny store and buy some black Wranglers so I could get in the White House and pray. Ms. Hogan told me I needed a pair of dress-up stuff anyway. That's a true statement. So, back to my story. So I'm following this chief, and I mean, it's a stack of people now. And it's 105 degrees. It's hot. Ah! Everything is against you. There's cobras. There's lions. You can hear lions roaring. Nothing is okay. Nothing. And then the king stops and he does this, and I look and there's a coffin. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want him back. He's valuable to me. So bring him back to me." And now this is a Muslim imam, king. None of that is okay with you the way you believe. Me either. I've heard the same Communist News Network lies as you have. CNN devils. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this dead man. And the king walks around yonder and he's just sitting there with his stick like this looking at me. I do not know Muslim customs. I do not know these tribal customs. I don't know what to say or how to say it. And I asked the king, I said, "So where's the family? Who's his wife?" He brought the wife and about 30, 40 family members, the mom, the dad, and all of them, they're there. Okay. And I said, "I got the king's permission, ma'am, but I need your permission to raise your dead." She said, "You can." I said, "Now, I've read the Quran a few times, and in y'all's opinion, I'm what's considered an infidel. It's against the law for me to touch an infidel. And I do not know y'all's custom. It's against the law for y'all to touch an infidel, me." And the wife says, you're touching my husband." And I looked at the Potter chief. He's the imam and the chief. He said, "I am the law. Do what you do." See, you got to understand when Jesus loves, when you love Jesus and he loves you and things worked out and he has sorted you out, he makes your enemies at peace with you. Now, this is a big deal, what I'm saying to y'all. And I don't know what to do. I've got lots of experience. Now I know what to do. I got experience with that as well now. And I looked at my son, and I told my son, I said, well, I got the permission from all these people. I said, but what came into my mind was when the prophet Elijah went back to that house that they built for him. And that little boy was dead, and he climbed up on top of that little boy, and God brought him back. And my son said, "Don't do it, Dad." I said, "I'm going to do it." So here I am, old guy, trying to climb up, because it's up in the air, and it ain't very stable, and I'm, you know, heavy. So the Christians are holding the casket stable. And I climb up in the casket with the fella. And I laid flat down on this dead man. Yeah, boy, he smelled really bad. You think you understand uncomfortable and tenseness. And well, listen, I can help you with that. Just come around me some. I can fix it where other things that you thought were tense are nothing. And I'm laying on top of this guy, and I'm eyeball to eyeball with this dead man. Family's right there. My son's right there, you know, holding my shirt. because he thinks the whole thing's going to fall. I didn't even look at it. I just climbed in the box. And I grabbed the thing by the man by the mouth. I blew in it. Oh, dang. It was nasty. So I almost started vomiting. And I laid on top of that fellow for like half an hour. That was the easy part, getting in. It's hard. I'm older than I was, and it's harder getting out than it was getting in. So there I am. And my son, so they pulled me out of that casket. You know, you can't get the stink off of you. Woo! And so I'm standing there, and they kept praying for another half an hour. And then I told the potter chief, I said, I am so sorry that I was not capable of doing my job. I'll let you down. I said, I'm sorry that I didn't bring your man back to you. I said, but with your permission, I want to pray for the family. He said, you have my permission. And I reach across, now I'm still reaching across the casket to touch these people. I mean, that dude's laying right there. And I reach over and touch that woman. And when I touched his wife, I am sorry to y'all. It was not, I thought it was going to be the same lifeless deal. No. God lit up on them people. It must have been 40 people blew like you shot them with a double barrel. I mean, they went boom. The woman, all these people in the front, it was a stack of them. Just flew through the air. Boom! I go, what? No! Here I am talking to God and ignoring the people. I want that energy in this box. But look, I didn't get him back. I did not get the man back from the dead. And because I missed him, he will eternally burn in hell, because that's the way I believe. There is no redemption for him outside of Jesus. Now, you need to live with that. You need to understand what I just said to you. Because what if I am right? We need to work on our peoples. Because we got a moment of life. Let's use it well. Let's use it wisely. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry to you that I failed you. I said, but Jesus loves all of you the same. And so I excused myself, and the custom with those people, they feed you, and I didn't even know what it was. It was some kind of stuff. I have no idea what it was, but you don't refuse it. And dude, I sit down there with these elders and people and other imams, and we ate. You use your hands, and I ate with them, and I don't know what it was. Don't care. It doesn't matter if it tasted good or not. It matters that you're obedient to Jesus. And you do your job, and next time you do better. Do you understand? All right. So we ate, we excused ourselves, and I mean, you ought to have seen these old imam guys coming by, and we were blessing each other. Dude, it was awesome. It ain't like nothing you've ever heard. And these are radical. These are the guys that did the war. You understand? And I don't know why I got favor with them. I don't have an answer. Jesus came. And so they carried me home. I went back to my room, you know, 6,000 degrees Kelvin in that room. I mean, I'm melting. It's hot, boy. And then later on, they brought us to the campaign. And there ain't a seat. That thing swole up. There was way over 10,000 people. I mean, it was, golly, as far as you could see. You could see black, and then night, you couldn't tell where they stopped. Golly, it was lots of people. And I'm standing up there, they said, you got to preach. They're here because of what you did. They ain't nobody ever heard of somebody climbing on top of a dead man before. And you got to tell them Jesus came. I said, that's a deal. So I'm up there throwing down, you know. Man, I'm on fire. And I should be shamed. I should be afraid because I wasn't successful. That is not right. That is a lie from hell. Throw it down every time it comes. Jesus is King. Do you understand? I'm telling you, we're never capable or able. It's Him that makes us fit for battle. I'm telling y'all, I'm right. Now, I'm good at my job and I can do lots of stuff. I can drive, fly, anything in the ocean, on land. I'm talented, gifted. It's just not enough without Jesus. I speak 8 languages. I got none of that's awesome stuff, but it's limited. Has a ceiling. Jesus don't. Hear me? Okay. So I'm standing up there talking. I don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, out of the darkness, a large crowd of people start walking up, because there's a space between where we are and the people, the stadium. And they came and filled it up. There's lots of them. But I just kept talking. Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden I heard his voice. Brother David, it was the potter chief. And he's right there in front of me. And I said, yes, sir. He said, can I talk to you? I said, sir, listen. You are King. And I respect you as King. But this is my time. This is my realm of authority. He said, exactly. Exactly. He said, when you left, we buried our man. But we had a meeting about what we saw you do and about how you stood for your Jesus and how you didn't get what you wanted, but you were willing to die anyway. We've never seen that kind of loyalty. We want your Jesus. All of them. And it wasn't 1,000, but it was a bunch. Close to it. Instead of come there to kill us, they all got born again. And then people are running down out of the thing, joining them. And that went to over 2,000 souls. Wow. And every one of them's Muslim. So you see, I don't see it the difficulty level you see it. I don't get the whole worry thing, because I've watched the hand of God in a different way. It does take a little courage to go there. It does take a little courage to stand there. It does take a little courage to climb in a coffin with them. It does take it. I admit that to you. But I got it. And I'm going to burn it down. I'm not taking it to heaven with me. I'm going to use my courage. You understand? Shaka-ta-ba-ta-ba-sha-ta-ba. Now, if you will, throw that picture up that I got, please, that girl with the paper. Let me. I'm going to do 3 things. This is one of them, and there's another one I'll move up to. Can you deal with that light a little bit? That's it. Okay, you can't see her very good. That's all right. But she's got a piece of paper. The most important thing up there is not her or me talking about it. It's the paper in her hand. That's a village. That's a village girl. That's one of our churches in a remote part of Mexico. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. But see, what y'all don't understand is the way we do is we hear about unreached areas. Because when I first went there, all of it was unreached. But now we've done extensive work. But there's still large pockets of land that has 100, 200 villages that we haven't got to yet. And so we're constantly attacking these pioneer areas, right? Well, this is one of them. Well, fortunately for this girl, we had gone in there and got a handful of people saved. And she come down with breast cancer. And by the time they got her, started messing with her, it had advanced to stage four. She's dead. This person, listen to me, you can't reverse it if Jesus don't touch them. Hello? Early enough, on and on and on, but most people put up with the pain for a while and let it go to where it's got a grip, then boom, you die. Okay, and it's sad. Okay, but this girl right here, now watch, it's just a handful of people, like six, in a brand new church. They don't know anything. And then they come, and this girl, the dad comes and says, I'm not saved, but my daughter's dying. And the answer 100% is, yeah, we're coming. We'll be right there. See, I don't owe them, I owe Jesus. I can't heal them, he can. Will he? I don't know. How could I know? That's one of the biggest things that bothers y'all the most, is because he don't heal people that you love the most. And I'm sorry. I am. I've lost some people dear to me. I didn't want to lose them. And dadgummit. If I could fight it, I would. But there's nothing to grab. You have to fight it with praise and worship. You fight it with the love of the gospel. With the grace of God in your heart. You don't allow yourself to bend to the power. You don't let the death of somebody you loved reach out from the grave and crush you. Amen. Are you hearing me or not hearing me? Because yes. It can. Hello? And I don't want it to hurt you. It wants to. And it can, and it will if you let it. But I'm asking you to, just like me, take all these ball of emotions. You see, I'm emotional. And people that are emotional like I am tend to get hit hard. Miss Hogan is less emotional than I am. You see her? That's 100% of the time. She's safe. She's comfortable. And she loves Jesus and nothing. It don't matter what's going on around us. She's just like this. Jesus. And I just look at her. Are you serious? Come on! And her response to me is, I'm doing that. And all I see is, Jesus. But that's a compliment. I wish I could grow up and be like you. You know, hold on. Bringing up the grow up thing. I tried that once. I'm serious. I went to my office. I tried to be an in charge guy at the office. Dang. That was miserable. That was the worst 30 minutes of my life. Everybody, write some books. Be valuable. Be important. What? No. I'd rather be the guy at the war zone climbing in the casket. That there is awesome. And her, she likes the quiet and one of the little kids, you know, breaking toys around her. Dude, I mean, that's awesome to have little kids, but that quiet thing is for y'all. But it does make you more vulnerable to emotional events as well. Hello? So you got to stick it somewhere. And you stick it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. He's got us. Yeah. All of us. Hello? Yeah. All right. So we prayed for that girl. Nothing happened. And next thing you know, they sent her home to die and then so forth. And they bring her to service. And we prayed like, I don't know, 10 or 15 days. And she's at the bottom. It's over. And then all of a sudden, I don't have an answer for y'all. I wish I could. If I could figure out what makes it switch on, you understand, I could make a fortune with that, right? Boy, man. But all of a sudden, the little girl, the young girl, you see that smile on her face? You can't much. But it's there. She just woke up and told her mom, quiero ayudarte tortillar. I want to help you make tortillas. And everybody looked at her, because it's been like 6 months that she's been cast away, you know. But she all of a sudden wants to get up and make tortillas. And then they take her back to the doctor. The doctor said, what'd y'all do? We brought her home to die like you said. Well, the cancer's gone. And that piece of paper is the document where he released her healthy. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me read a Bible verse to you, because we got to go probably. Oh, it's over here. Thank you, Mom. You did it all right. I was emotional like always. All right. So we're in, where are we at? Thank you. This is not the right one. Why'd y'all put me at the wrong app? It's here somewhere. I'll find it directly. Come on, Kendall. Ta-ta-ta-ta. Slowest one on the thing is Kendall. Ah. Yeah, I'm going out of there to the next one. Oh, that's next one was it anyway. Revelation 21. First verse, first phrase. I saw. Say it.
I saw.
I want to see. Say it.
A new sky.
A new sky. Verse 2, the first phrase. I saw the holy city. Say it.
I saw the holy city.
I want to see the holy city.
I want to see the holy city.
Yeah. Verse 3. I heard
a mighty voice
from the throne.
From the throne.
Oh, shout out to blah, blah, blah. Verse 4. I haven't got there. I'm there now. Ready? God, say it.
God
will wipe away every tear. Say it. Say it again. Who's going to do that?
God.
What's he going to do?
Wipe away every tear.
See, y'all don't know, because I'm not going to go into this part of it, because I got one more story I want to tell you, and then I got to bail. But see, you don't know what it's like to go out in these villages. There's nobody out there. There's no help for them. Us, me, I, we, God, myself. And I get there, right? And the whole village is in mourning. I can tell. You know, and I roll up and it's sad. And all of a sudden, one of the mamas that has never spoke to me in my life. Women don't do that there. Comes up and gets me by the hand. They don't touch me. Me being white, foreigner, male, American, Christian, the whole deal. And she pulls me over and there's a sack. You know, I don't know what it is. Who knows what it is? And she points at it. What do you want? She said, look inside. I open it up. Oh, damn. There's a chopped up kid in there. And I tell her, what is that? The cartel came and raided our village, took our kids, forced two of my kids to fight as child soldiers. And one of my boys tried to make it back. He didn't make it. So this is what they sent me. And here's what she said to me. Give me my son back. All right. See, this is a different kind of Christianity I'm talking to you about here. There ain't no answer. I don't have an answer for you. There ain't no process. There's no way to do it. Your problems are real to you and big to you. This is a different type of big. This is a different type of problem. Hello? All right. So all I know to do is fold the sack back, gather around the people, and we pray over the kid. And I have yet to get one of them back, and I prayed over several. It affects you. It's not good. It marks you, scars you a little. See a little child chopped up like that, it's not God. You hear me? These beautiful little girls laying down here. Each one of them, I could take them on the black market, $1 million a piece. You hear me, right? You are blessed. I know, and your problems are real. They are. And they're substantial. But other people have different problems and they seem larger. But it doesn't make ours any smaller. We need Jesus for all of them. I need you to hear me. What I've been watching y'all do, worshiping God, the way y'all worship God, that is the answer. You're not going to grow up and there'll be another answer. You are at the feet of Jesus. That is the answer. You need more of it, not less of it. You need more. You need to more be more bizarre. King David, what he told Michael, the king's daughter in a palace, living in luxury, that girl. She never saw a bad day, that girl. What did King David tell her? I will be even more vile. You will watch me worship my king. And all of y'all want me to be successful and calm down. Show us a dignity, David. I'll show you dignity. Find me another coffin. I'm up in it. That's dignity, buddy. All of them got saved. All of them. Including the mama and the wife. Didn't lose them, did we? But the tears, say it. They out of here. Say it. Tell them. Tears out. Death out. Anguish. Get out. Sorrow. Out of here. Mourning. Grief. Pain. Out. All I know to say to you is I believe this because it's happening to me. Understood? What I'm saying to you is happening in my physical life. My body is overcoming these normal life situations. And it's because of seeing the King. It's because of hearing the mighty voice. It's because of it. There's no other reason, y'all. Okay, verse 5, and then I'm going to tell you one more story, if it's all right. Y'all still good? Yeah. Have I overstayed my welcome? Are we all right? Because I do that sometimes on purpose most of the time. But. Verse 5, 21:5, here's what it says. He who is seated, say thank you to him.
Thank you.
Thank you, seated one.
Thank you, Redeemer.
Shataba. Holy. Holy. Shalakalaba. Tadaba. Here's what he says from the throne. See. Say it. I want to see.
I want to see.
Say it again.
I want to see.
I want to see.
I want to hear.
I want to
hear.
I want to perceive.
A new sky.
I make all things new. Say new.
Come to me.
New.
Overwhelm me.
In Jesus' name. And he said to me, record this. Say, I've been recording things to heaven, to our scenario, to hell. I've been going on record for you. I'm recording this before the angels of God, the demons of hell, and human beings. Jesus is King. He says, record this. I'll make it all new. He said, these sayings are faithful. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Faithful.
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 Faithful. You know, and most of us don't see faithful very often. I don't as much as I want. I do a lot, more than a lot of people. But And it's awesome when I do, like, boy, that little girl got her life back. God gave her her life back. Hell walked in and laughing and scorning and took it, and she was gone. There's nothing you can do. But Jesus walked in right behind her. Excuse me. Out of here. New. Bam. Gave it to that girl. And she got her life back. You ought to see that little old girl on her knees worshiping God. You know, all the hunger and the things that we've gone through and the suffering and the beatings and the loneliness and the times away from each other. And it's endless. But watching that little girl has got her life back on her knees. Beautiful. She's perfect. Beautiful girl. Just put her hands out. Thank you, faithful one. Ah! That's what the gospel does. You hear me? These sayings are faithful. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Accurate.
Accurate.
Incorruptible.
Incorruptible.
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
True.
True.
Genuine.
Genuine.
Say that's for me.
That's for me.
Holy. Shakatalaba. All right, now I'm going to take just a minute. I ain't going to tell you the whole. There's too many scenarios. I got trapped by hell, but God didn't. Now we feel that way a lot, and we're bright. Y'all, I was looking around at y'all. Y'all are bright. I'm watching your eyes. Your eyes are clear. Most of you. You are. But I'm telling you, hell has been deceiving humans forever. How long they've been around, thousands of years, millenniums. You're not brighter than hell is, but Jesus is. He was in the beginning before hell. Do you understand? He was the one that hell tried to overthrow, and he said, you out of here. And actually hell had to obey. Do you hear me? So, bright as we are, as much experience as we got, many counselors as we have, you still walk into traps. You just do. That's why you need Jesus. So, I'm in Mexico. I got invited to this campaign thing. We do campaigns, is what we call them. And campañas. And it's in a war zone. Now, in a war zone, okay, I don't know how to explain this to you, but we work, the government don't own the land. If you ask them in Mexico City, they'll tell you yes. Just like they do in Washington. But you go out in the province where I live, the cartels own the land. And they got manpower and firepower enough to back the army down. Do you hear me? So you have to go there and figure it out. So we have. Okay. We got that going. Now, here we go. I'm sitting there, and this pastor comes up. He's running about 50 of our churches. He says to me, and all of them's cartel churches. There's no describing that to you. You fool with them a little bit with some of these gangs, but are you minor? You don't believe it is. I tell you it is. You can still cuss them out and have rights. Where I live, you say you lift an eyebrow at them, you're shocked. Your family's beheaded. You're blessed. That's all I know to say to you. And that's enough. And I'm this aggressive, wild soldier thing, so it's critical when I do stuff. Hello? It matters. And so I'm rolling up on his pastor. He says, you got to come out. I said, I'm not coming out there. Dude, they bought you off. You set me up for the fall, or you're turning me in. They're going to sell me back to my family or my government. I don't believe you. He said, Brother David, I've been with you since I was an assassin. I used to work for them. I said, I understand that. And then I went in the room. I'm sitting in the room and I'm mulling over this complaint because it's a complaint to me. You don't have to worry about it, brother. Love him, brother. Trust Jesus, brother. Well, bring your little butt on out there and show me how. Now that's as polite as I can be about that. You understand? So I'm sitting in a chair trying to decide if he's lying to me. You can't tell. People look you in the face with that little puppy dog, that thing. You can't tell if they're lying or not. I don't care how discerning you are, praise the Lord. Dude, people lie to you. Right to your face. So I'm sitting there, you know, thinking about it. Way in walks this lady right here. The one who don't never, she's calm all the time. And, you know, I'm sitting over there, and now I've got my arms crossed. And when I got my arms crossed and I'm not being vocal, it's something going to happen. Because as long as I'm mouthy and up in your goodies, it's okay. But when I roll over yonder and I'm feeling for my 44 Magnum, something's going to happen because I don't bluff. You understand? I'm not going to bow. So she said, "What's up, David?" And we don't keep secrets, y'all. I tell her point blank truth. And I explained it to her with the worst case scenario. And she didn't, listen, Jesus. And it's very complimentary, I'm telling you. That's so awesome for me because I'm all over the place. So Ms. Hogan goes, let's think about it, David. When we first left for the mission field, I thought, I've heard this how many times? I said, "What? What do you want? What did Jesus tell us?" I said, "Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and make disciples." She said, "Then you should go." I said, "Miss Hogan, it's 100% death rate for me." She said, "You have no proof that they can kill you." "I have proof that they killed others, everybody." I said, "You're right. I apologize to you. Deal." And I got up, gave her a hug, went straight in there, put it on the calendar, let it go, threw the pebble off the thing, caused the avalanche, let it happen. So the day come. All right. This, what I'm fixing to tell you is not even on y'all's radar. I believe some wild stuff. And I'm involved in some bizarre events. But this one wasn't on any of our charts. God, I don't know what's wrong with him. He thinks he can do whatever he wants to. And he also thinks he don't owe us an explanation. Now say it. That's what I want. See, I know what you're wanting. I know you want the unknown. That is what we're after here. I got that. But when it comes, it is different than when it didn't come. So I roll in there. As soon as I got in close, the gunner showed up. I picked up a truckload. It is just like you see on TV with the Toyota Land, the Toyota trucks, and the people are full of guns in the back. It's exactly like that. And they're always the white ones. And so we're going, and I told the guys in my truck, I said, "I need y'all to look in the back." I said, "They're on us. We're dead. I don't know how far we're going to make it." Then we went about two or three blocks, picked up two more. Now there's three truckloads. And then every other block from then on, there was people, truckloads of soldiers waiting on us. There's lots of them. All right. The commander of these guys is talking to them on radio. He said, "As soon as they get where they're going, kill everybody." That was the order given. We're dead. We knew we were, but it really is scary, more scary when the order was given. Because you just don't believe they're going to give the order. Well, they do. And you got to have the faith, and you got to have that bank account with God on your knees worshiping, and you got to have it to draw on, because you ain't going to get out of this one. You understand? Because these guys are ruthless. They have no morals like you do. You have morals. Everybody in this room, there is something that can get you to pull that trigger, but you're going to think about it first. They don't think about it. Hello? Okay. And then one of the guys in one of the trucks who was an ex, he's not one of our pastors. He's the pastor's son of one of our churches. He called a commander. He says, I recognize the guy in the back of the gringo's truck. Me, I'm the gringo. I'm the white guy. Who is he? It's the Hallelujahs. He's the main Hallelujah. And the commander says, I know that Hallelujah. He prayed for one of my kids and he got healed. Don't kill him. Wait. Wait and see where they're going. And ring them 360 degrees. And if any word besides Jesus comes out of their mouth, kill everybody. See, this is why it's important for you to be worshipers of Jesus. Yes. They need to know you. It literally saves your life in a literal sense. And I didn't know it at the time. The reason we know is because a lot of the cartel guys that were there to kill us came in and got saved. That's part of the miracle. All right. We get there and there must be 300. Now, all of these people here work for the cartel. All right, it's complicated. In y'all's world, they're not welcome here. In my world, they are our Christians. That's a big difference. If they come through that door, you call the police. If they come through that door with me standing here, I'm going to try to convert them. I don't fear them. All they can do is shoot me. You can't reason with demons. Only Jesus can deal with demons. Look how quiet you are now. You don't like this. Well, I don't like it more than you don't, because I have to go to church there. All right. All these people in here, none of them have their guns. Well, a couple of them maybe had guns because they're on duty, but for the cartel. This is anti-government. Are you hearing me? All right. And I roll in there. You should have seen them come and hugging me because of the audacity of my white self to roll up in and be standing on their turf. And they just, because they all know we're going to all die. And we're just going to have a party. They said, ya es fiesta, hermano David. It's time for a feast. I said, échale, let's do it. Man, they done, well, these women brought out, these men, they brought these cauldrons with full of food. And man, these tables are set up. And I'm sitting with all these people and we are just having, it's a leg slapping time. When the Bible says he will create a feast in the presence of our enemies, what do you think he's going to do? And we're having a good time. Now, look, I'm sorry to y'all about what happened next. We don't even have a theology for this yet. I don't even know what to say to you. But I'm sitting there. There must be, at my table, there must be 40 of these leaders. Some of them are fresh, saved cartel people and that. And they are high-ranking folks and so forth. And I'm just sitting there, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We're eating so much, we're about to blow up. It's just wonderful. And one of the cartel guys said to me, at least we're going to die full, Brother David. I said, that's so awesome. Because I've been hungry so much, it feels good to be full. And right in the middle of all of that, now we got people around us with guns trained on us. We got people in the midst here. We got food. We got party. We got, oh my God, it looked exactly like this while ago. Except there was lots of food involved. And we're eating and slapping our legs and laughing. And in y'all's world, we're knuckleheads for doing that. But in God's world, we're champions. We are heroes of the faith, outdoing what heroes do, letting God be in charge. You hear me? And it is complicated inside emotionally. I'm telling you, I feel it. I want to run. Ah, too late. And so the next thing you know, I'm sorry to y'all, golly. It's not my fault, okay? I was just sitting there having leg slapping good time. The people saw me stand up, but I didn't. There was two of me. I'm sorry. Your intellect is going to be really angry with me. They watched me walk around and go up to where the music is, pick up a shofar. I'm a shofar hand. Can't do it, Mom. Cut it off for you. I forgot to put it on the red thing. And this second me walks around and picks up this shofar, pulls the cloth off of it. The other me is still over there slapping his leg eating. I'm sorry, y'all. I apologize to every one of you about this. But the Lord Jesus, an angel, somebody, took my form. Now, I'm still at the table. My recollection of things is different than the people's recollection of things. Picks up a shofar. When he blew the shofar, the Shekinah glory came out of it. All right, here we go. I'm so sorry to y'all. Y'all act like you believe in the Shekinah glory until it takes over your meeting. And then things happen that you're not used to and that you can't figure out mentally and that nobody you know can explain it to you. I'm not even going to try. I'm having a hard enough time with telling you because I know how foolish it sounds. But what you got to deal with is the results. Because that man, that me thing is up there blowing the shofar. All the people is watching me do it because that's what I do. I carry them on my side, ram's horns made in Bethlehem. I'll carry them 24 all the time in every service. They're right there, made by priests in Bethlehem. And I blow them things. Woo! I let hell know exactly where I'm at. I am a soldier of Zion. And so, I'm sorry to y'all. What happened next is bizarre. This smoke, Shekinah glory, started going through the people. Everybody got healed. Blind, deaf, cripples. This one lady in a wheelchair. I didn't know why she was getting up. I'm over there slapping my leg, and all of a sudden this lady's trying to get up. I'm going, what is up with her? We ain't even preached yet. How can she be getting healed? Well, there's a reason. The Shekinah glory and the second me is up there doing it. I'm so sorry to y'all. Unbelief is going to have a heyday with this one. So is God. Because the ones of you that believe Jesus is going to be blasted. Listen to this. We started seeing the reaction of the people. And so me and the guys get up and go up front. And we're looking at it. Man, things are going. It went off. I mean, four or five times more off than this here off. It went boom, son. And I watched this crippled lady, 26 years. She's her bones are so brittle from osteoporosis and diabetes Her legs have been broken so many times that her feet are up, pointed up. We watched God heal her. And she stood up. She's just looking at me right now, just like you are. And here she comes toward me. I'm going, what the? I started backing up, buddy. My whole life we've been praying for that lady. And just who knows why, the second me got the shofar and blew it, and the Shekinah glory came into the house. I'm sorry to y'all. I know what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, I started watching these soldiers walk in from the bush with their guns. Listen, laying them guns down, son. Come on. Six of these active cartel soldiers got born again. I'm going to bring up the witchcraft because I want to. They sent me word 5 days out that the witches had been doing a 40-day fast, so I'd be murdered when I got there. The head witch rolls up on me. I'm sitting here watching these people get healed, watching these cartel soldiers. I don't have a clue what's going on. See, a doer of the word. And I don't get to see very much, but it's pretty awesome what I get to see when it happens, when you've been doing. Do you hear me? Everybody always, dude, why are you so active? You need to act your age. I am. You ought to feel what it feels like in here. I wish it'd break out and get you hot. This witch rolls up on me. And she don't look like any different than anybody else. She says, I am the black magic witch. I said, I'm sorry. Lady, you've been seeing all these people get healed. You've been watching these soldiers bow to the king. You need to run. Necesitas a la garta pues. Fuera! You need to get out of here. She said, no. I said, pues, te cae. It's on you. Jesus! Dude, something that I couldn't see. The people were seeing it. The smoke came around her, picked her up and threw her over there. Boom! Before she hit the ground. Shalabalaba, she's speaking in tongues. Listen, there's a new day on us. Say it. I want a new sky. Say it. I want to hear the voice of the mighty one. Shalababa, the faithful, the incorruptible, the accurate, the genuine, the true. Shakalaba. Whoa, sorry. You know, opening up these new lands and doing these new things that y'all are trying to do, you understand what you're inviting in. You can be the religious, the stoic, the ordinary. I don't see that in you. And I do look ordinary. I do look like a regular redneck fella. It's just I'm not. I just wish you could have been there and seen. I knew something was up, but I didn't know what was up. I can't see it. I'm just the guy there, the ordinary soldier guy that'll die doing what he thinks is right. Heaven likes that. That's on heaven's agenda for me to give it all. Y'all just sing it. Give it all. Praise the Lord. If I could just get one of you to believe it, we could win. We could win. Holy. The commander sent me word. He said, next time you have, they call them a función. We call them campañas. A function. Next time you have a function, he said, can my men come? I sent him word. We'll kill the fatted calf for you. How about that? This is so scary. I'm just sweating up here. I feel nervous because I'm going to do it on the 12th of January, 2020. It's happening. If you will stand up, I gotta hit the trail. Sorry to all y'all. Yeah. I bless y'all. Hear me? Holy. Thank y'all for y'all's time. Thank you, Ma. Feel that hot? Thank you, dear. Thank you, son. See how easily touched you are? Look at you. You need to develop that. You need to let it roll. Let it out. Don't hold it. You can do that for me. Hey. We can do this. Hey. I know how tough it is. Man up. You hear me? Bless you, son. You're Mateo, huh? Yeah, Mateo. Shakaba. Holy. Now I'm gonna ask you for something, and I'm not gonna be offended one way or the other. I gotta go get in that red truck and get out of here. So it's not a Ford this time, it's a Dodge. I won't. I am pretty pleased with it. It's a full one-ton, four-wheel drive. 15,000 GVW, positive traction, 1,000 foot-pound rear end. That thing's bad to the bone, boy. That thing's knocking out 20.3 miles to the gallon at 75 miles an hour. I'm all right with that. If I'd slow down, I'd get a lot better, wouldn't I? Not going to happen. Oh, I must tell y'all, thank y'all for driving y'all's Tauruses and Priuses. Y'all are such a blessing, because that way when I get to the thing, there's fuel for my truck. Thank y'all. Shabba. See, there's a new day. When I explained this to Miss Heidi, she flipped. All she said to me was one word. Thank you for letting me see you. Just looking at you makes me encouraged, she said. I said, well, yeah. Miss Hogan tells me that every day. Holy.
Holy.
You was on the piano, right? Yeah, I'm sorting it out finally. But I got to go now. I bless y'all. You hear me? Holy Ghost. But I'm going to ask you one thing. If you need Jesus, it's open. If you need healing, it's wide open for you. But if you think you're ready for this fateful thing where God splits you in two, three. Because one day, I didn't say nothing about this, but one day I was in Guatemala, Stuttgart, Germany, and Mexico. Same day. I got proof. I got receipts, pictures. That ain't possible. My mind just don't like that. It didn't stop what happened, though, did it? Real famous preacher down there in Guatemala, he come up to me and says, you know, at this conference, he says, thanks for coming to Guatemala to our church. I looked at him. Dude, I know who you are, but I ain't never been to your church. He said, right. Boom. And there I am on the platform, and I don't even play a guitar. He said, we've used that song you introduced and been lots of people saved. I said, what? It's true. And then, because I was in Stuttgart. The guy that has recollection was in Stuttgart, right? Preaching Jesus, meeting similar to this. And the third guy was in one of our churches in Mexico. And I'm sorry to y'all's intellect. I know this is offensive. You need it. If I'm going to be offended, you need to be with me. I go back home, right, after that trip I was on, and I get to the pastor's meeting, because I always pull in 200-300 pastors and just let them touch me, let them know I'm alive still. We always kill a cow, and everybody eats good, and that sort of thing. And one of my pastors rolls up, he says, thank you, Brother David. And I'm looking at him. For what? Well, you brought the material for our church, and none of us knew that you can drive a tractor trailer. I said, well, I can, yeah, but I didn't. He said, and he produced a receipt. Now, in our world, we do everything in triplicates. Integrity reasons, when money passes hands, three people sign on it and all that. And so he said, look here, is that your signature? I said, yeah, let me look at that date. I said, you get a picture? He said, yeah, we got a picture. I said, I need all of it. Look, I was in Stuttgart, Germany, and drove up with block, rebar, cement for this church. They said, we didn't even know you was coming. We heard you shouting, because I'm always doing that shout I did at her a while ago. We heard you. And so we go to see what it was. It was you. It's pretty nice, three places in one time. I don't have any recollection of it. Holy. But to me, it was a marked event when I'm in the location doing two things. That's special as well. So let's just worship, okay? And if you believe you're ready for this type of Shekinah presence, I'd like for you to come up here with me, and I'm probably not going to get to pray with everybody. Well, yeah, that's what I figured. This is what I want. Of course it is. Holy. I'm probably not going to get to pray for everybody. But holy. Amen. So are y'all gonna do some tunes? Okay. You good, Mom? Everything all right? Thank you. I can't predict this stuff. You know I can't. If I could, I'd do it every day, all day. I really would. I really do get off on this. I like this. It's fun. It's fun to look normal, but you're not. That's fun to me. You're just not. You're extraordinary. Yes. Ambassador of the King. Son of God. That is so much fun to me. Look on y'all's faces, bizarre. I like it so much. You desperately are trying to believe. You just doubt won't let you. It has us so throttled. There's this big funnel and it's going down to this little bitty. Move it. Receive. It was something about the goodness of God earlier, right?
Yes.
What does it look like in the land of the living? Well, I have a couple ideas. It's weird. If you'd have seen that witch, she believed I was going to drop dead in front of her. I believed I wasn't. I was right this time. I bless you. You hear me, right? God, I ask you to activate us. Flip our switches. And then break them out.